Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's scripture reading is going to be from the 10th chapter of John, starting with verse 1, reading through verse 15. The 10th chapter of John, verses 1 through 15, reading in the name of our Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Your word is truth. Sanctify us in this truth. Plant this truth in our hearts and in our minds, today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. This section of scripture is called the Good Shepherd. But we have to stop before we start on this, and we are going to read the five verses that end chapter 9, because this chapter 10 is a continuation of chapter 9. If you look in your Bibles, especially if you have a red letter edition, it really sticks out because you can see that the chapter just cuts right in the middle of Jesus' words. And so we're going to read the first five verses, or six verses, at the end of chapter 9, because it sets this up, if you will, so we can kind of get the whole story here. As we know, the whole book of John is worthy to be read or heard in one setting, but for today, we will just be focusing on this small portion of it. So, reading from the end of chapter 9, verse 35, where Jesus' words actually start for this section. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. So this section in chapter 10, if we just read it by itself, when Jesus is saying that he is the shepherd, it is a very nice story. And we want to always think that Jesus is our shepherd. But Jesus is speaking this in response to the Pharisees. He's coming hard against the Pharisees because this blind man was healed in chapter 9. And this very blind man who couldn't see, after he was healed, he was questioned by the Pharisees. The Pharisees questioned his parents, and his parents didn't even dare respond for fear of persecution from the Pharisees. These religious leaders had a lot of power at this time and in these towns. They had a lot more power than anybody we would consider a religious leader today, because these religious leaders, they would recommend or give judgment for punishment for people. They were in charge of the moral law. Even though the Roman government was ruling over them, for their areas, the Roman government tried to let them control their people because they knew that the people would respond to these religious leaders. So for fear of them, his parents wouldn't even respond who had healed him and how he had been healed, but they said, go and ask him. And this man, he responds to the Pharisees in a way saying, well, how can you not know who this is? And they question this man more. And when he explains to them who healed him, the Pharisees, they throw it back in his face and say, who are you to teach us? Because the Pharisees understood that they thought they themselves were very holy. They understood that they were righteous and that they were the holy ones and that this blind man wasn't. So they tell this blind man that you cannot teach us. And then Jesus hears that they're talking to this blind man. He hears that they're belittling this blind man. And they come to him, and he comes to the blind man. And the blind man says that he doesn't know who Jesus is when he's talking to him. But then Jesus says unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. So he tells him, I am the one talking to you, the one that you're hearing and the one that you're seeing. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. And before that, this blind man gives his statement of faith. He says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So even though his eyes had been opened and he had done this great work, this man hadn't necessarily believed yet. And that's sometimes even in this life that God is trying to draw us in. The good shepherd Jesus has come to us and he's doing good for us. He's caring for us. But we don't always believe yet, or we don't understand. But through his word, as we continue to hear his word and hear his voice, that faith grows within us so that we would believe. And we see that happen with this man here, that he has grown now to have this faith. And so when Jesus comes to him a second time, and now he sees him, even though for us we would think, well, as soon as he was healed, he surely would have believed. But Jesus comes to him after the religious leaders of the day had tried to put this man down and tried to belittle who he was and his experience. And they let him know that he had been born in sin and that they were not born of sin, because they thought that they were the perfect ones, but he was not. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And so the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, are we also blind? Because they think surely they are not blind. They have all the understanding they need. But Jesus says to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Because they're saying that they understand. We see clearly how this is. We see that this blind man has sin. And we understand how this world works. But the Pharisees, they do not understand. For they believe in God, but they do not believe in the Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ, This one in front of them is their Lord and Savior. And so now Jesus expounds on this into chapter 10. He says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." So he's telling these Pharisees, if you don't enter by the door, you are the same as a thief and a robber. Because through this door is where we experience the grace of God. We experience this grace in Jesus Christ, that when we are dead, we are made alive. And he continues, and we want to pay attention, though, to that word when he says to them. He says, he that entereth not by the door. And then he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So now, this may seem a little confusing to us because we start thinking about a door, and then now he's saying a shepherd is coming through this door. So we start to think how maybe we've seen a barn or somewhere where there's sheep. But Jesus continues on. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And if we look at the way that sheep are tended in the East or in that day of age, they were not driven, but they were led. Because these sheep, from the time they were young lambs, they were with the group of the same sheep, and they followed a certain shepherd. So if they were traveling with their sheep, they may have been put in a pen with like three or four other flocks of sheep. But then when a shepherd needed to call his sheep out to begin traveling again, they would open the door and call for their sheep, and then just their sheep would come out, and the rest would stay behind. And sometimes we do see an animal, like maybe a dog comes to its owner's voice. It won't come to someone else's voice. But that's the way these sheep were. And it says, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So these sheep would follow their shepherd. And we can start to see very clearly how now also when Jesus speaks and we hear his words, that we also follow him. But this is Jesus' response to these religious leaders, and he's trying to open their eyes. He's trying to make them so they can see. These religious leaders do not hear his voice because they're trying to reason everything and work everything out because they feel they need to make it make sense for themselves, and they think that they are the ones with the true understanding. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And so Jesus is telling them that the sheep will not follow a stranger. They are only going to follow him. And as we understand now, looking back, that these Pharisees are very much strangers for Christ's flock, for the loved ones of God, for the people in this day, such as the blind man. He was not following these Pharisees. He wasn't saying, "You are right." He questioned them to the point where they said, "Who are you to teach us?" This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So the Pharisees do not understand. Jesus is trying to make this plain to them. He's repeated himself a few times here to make us clearly understand in these first five verses that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and they follow the shepherd, and he goes through the door. And so Jesus continues to explain this to them. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So now he plainly says this in verse 7, where verse 1, when he says, "He that entereth not by the door." Now in verse 7, when we wonder, well, what other way is there to enter? There is no other way to enter, because Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." So Jesus is the door. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus says very plainly here, if we enter in by him, we are saved. And he is not driving us into this door. He is not like the Pharisees telling you that you are a sinner, but he's leading us into this door. He's calling us to follow him. It's just like when we get in our car and if we're trying to find directions, it's always, if we maybe still have an old atlas or we're trying to put it in our phone, it's sometimes confusing if it's a new address and we're in a new area. But if there's someone there who we can just follow, that's always easier to just say, well, I can follow you. And that's how in all things now, Jesus is coming to us when we feel lost or when we are lost. And he's saying, follow me, just follow me. He'll do the work for us. He knows the way, and he's plainly telling them here this way. He's making this very simple, and he's using this term as shepherd, as that was a common occupation in those days, that they would have clearly understood that, yes, sheep hear a shepherd's voice. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Those words we can hang on to, that we will be saved and that now we have this freedom to move. It isn't that we're going in and sheltering in place, but we also are going out to pasture where the Lord will feed us. And then we go into this door and he gives us rest. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And as we know now, the opposite of the shepherd is the thief and is the robber. And we can very much see now how Jesus is, in a way, he's comparing that's the way these Pharisees are, in that they're trying to tell people, they're trying to lead them astray. And how people will come up with their ideas of how we are to act or how we are to perform in this life, that we can find happiness in this life or we can care for ourselves in this life so we can improve and just make things a little better for ourselves. But Jesus is not coming to offer us just a temporary improvement in this life. He is coming to give us the final cure once and for all for eternity, so that one day we would experience no more pain and no more sorrow. And as it is now, we know he has given us these beautiful gifts of communion and baptism that help us, to give us strength, and he gives us his forgiveness through these things, so that way we can journey on. He gives us strength for the journey to see us through to the end. So in that final day, when at the final resurrection, when he returns for us to gather all his sheep and bring us home, that we will be there. And then we know we will experience no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. And today, if we wonder that, can we have this peace? Are we saved? We know that we hear the shepherd's voice, and when he calls us, that we follow him. And when we follow him and we go through that door, he is that door. We are saved, and we can rest in that. And he continues on to try to explain this to them again, that when he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And as we know now, Jesus is talking about when he is going to the cross, he is going to give his life for his sheep. Because on that cross, it says he is going to give his life. In Matthew 27:50, it says he yielded up his life. His life wasn't taken from him. He surrendered it. He willingly gave it. He wanted to give that life for us. It wasn't that they killed Jesus. He gave up his spirit. As we know, he could have called 10,000 angels, but He knew that God's plan was for each one of us when he was to go to that cross, that he would shed his blood and cleanse us to make us all white as snow. And then it is always so interesting to me when you look at a sheep, you see sheep in a field and you can see the white moving there, that though our sins are as scarlet, we've been made white as wool, that Jesus has cleansed us. So now we are that sheep. We are clothed in white. And so we know that we are secure. And this shepherd, we can speak of him the same way Jacob did in Genesis chapter 48, 15. When Jacob blessed Joseph and he said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. And this is the same way that the good shepherd is. All our life long, he has been calling us. He has been leading us. Sometimes we trip over our own ideas and our own understandings, but God isn't worried about our mistakes. God is worried about giving us that final cure, the final solution. So he has been that shepherd our whole life. From the beginning of our lives, he's been caring for us and calling for us and giving us his voice to listen to. This door that Jesus is a door that is not locked. This door is not locked. It is open. He is not the door like at the front of our house where sometimes if it's late at night and there's a knock or the doorbell rings, we might go and somebody might peek through a window or ask, who is it, before we open the door. He does not say, who is it, when we come to the door. The door is already open for us to freely enter in. And he's leading us to follow him, to follow him in. He is not asking us to answer a special set of questions before we can come in. Later in John, he tells us, he chose us. We did not choose him. And we can take comfort in this, in that God has looked on each of us and judged us worthy. He's judged us worthy in Christ Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, who went to that cross and made each and every one of us worthy. In the words, the way John Newton put it, in his famous song, 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. And that is it. By God's grace is why we are here today, and we can freely worship and celebrate that great resurrection. But now, by his grace, we will be able to continue on. We do not have to worry. We can remember we have God's grace. We have God's grace, and we can give it freely to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors. God's grace is this open door. God's grace is Jesus Christ on that cross. And this door is open. It is not shut. It is open. And there isn't any limit on the inside saying how many can come. Or he isn't going to close the door and say, now it is full. He's freely asking us to come in. And he is showing us the way that he will guide us in. We hear his voice and he will guide us. And we can rest in this. And this same way, if we worry about our children or our grandchildren, we know that this good shepherd cares for them too. And he is drawing them in. Their whole life, he is the good shepherd. And we can continue to look to him today, tomorrow, forever and always. And when we look at this good shepherd, we can remember he is also the door, and that door is grace. And that is how we enter in, through his grace, in no other way. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for sending this good shepherd, this greatest shepherd of all, to care for us so much that he laid down his life for us. And now he has sent He has gone home, but you have sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in this love. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us day by day, and we thank you for sending your Son once and for all, and we thank you for this grace that you have bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.